Oh, man, we got an exciting episode of Shift Shift here.
We're already having fun.
Oh, man. Before we get started, we're going to get Brad on the phone. We're in the studio today. We're going to get Brad on the phone. But before we get started, let me tell you about Continental's OE Technology series of belts. You guys have heard us talk about this before. We love these guys. If you think of all the weird things that you find in cars, and I'm not just talking about French fries or melted crayons, I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, stuff that makes you wonder about folks. Well, another thing that'll make you wonder.
Hairballs?
Yo, who knows it, where you live? Where you live?
Sasquatch right? balls.
Raccoons, Big Nick. You can find anything in your car. Another thing you'll find are Continental belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE and millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, BMW, VW, and GM vehicles. Pretty much everything out there. Continental has launched their aftermarket multi-V belt with their OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series of belts. They're fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. Continental's OE technology series multi-V belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, go to oetechnologyseries.com. What do you say? Let's get started?
I say let's get started.
Let's do it.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey guys, welcome to Shift and Steer, a huge, huge, huge 200th episode. We planned nothing for this show, except we are in the Corolla One studios. We have Aaron Hagar in studio with us. And for some godly reason, I don't know why, we have Brad calling in instead of here with,
with
us.
A bad phone connection.
With a bad phone connection.
I told you it wasn't me.
Hello, Brad.
Well, you know, guys, I'm up in Tahoe. And...
No, that's funny.
That would actually be
psych,
great.
Psych. I told you I'd be there, but I'm not.
And we have an in studio guest. We have the silent Big Nick in the in the studio.
Sidekick Nick.
That guy takes up a lot of air when he's in there.
Born and raised in Tahoe, and is experiencing a first airplane trip, right? First LA trip. First, if you talk, you got to get up on that.
Second LA trip.
Second LA
trip.
First
one with Aaron, also.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get out much without
me. He's like, let's just pick up some cars and get the hell out of here, is what he wants to do.
We flew into Palm Springs and he went, I'm in hell. It was 111 degrees.
What's up, Brad?
On Nick's first LA trip, we had a little grudge match, you know, between his Camaro and my El Camino, and I won't say who won.
I missed their gear when I was about seven car lengths in front of you.
Losing's losing, my friend.
No, it's seven car lengths in front. It still stayed in front.
Well, now he's driving an El Camino, so you got a Camaro handy?
Oh, man.
I hope you guys put tires on that thing before you're driving it all the way back north.
Oh, now you tell us? No. We're driving
that's
it as we got it.
That's the one thing that it needs the most.
Well, it's okay, because Nick said the way it's geared, he doesn't want to go over 65.
Yeah. Well, be careful with that. Yes, we just got back from Monterey. There's some Monterey stuff to cover. Just a couple of debuts and stuff I'll touch on. Of course, maybe a little bit of reminiscing over 200 episodes. I don't know what that is, 4 years? Almost 4 years?
Has it been that long?
I mean, we started
first,
like around SEMA.
Longer, guys.
Yeah, 4.5 years.
Wow. Well, you know what?
2014.
That's great, because I thought it was a couple years. So that's a good run, guys. We've, you know, life's good. It goes fast.
I mean, it
the
makes
band
me...
is stuck together.
Yeah.
Good for us. Bad for our paychecks.
Paychecks?
Yeah. Because those are a little depressing. But thanks, Geico.
I thought those were bonuses.
Yeah, right?
Wait a minute. Starting at 200, don't you get residuals?
No, no. There's no syndication money here. But I, on the way back from Monterey, I was driving back with Mr. Carolla, and Adam said, you know what? He's like, 200 episodes, it's nice to have a good back catalog. And he goes, because now you can start to reminisce, because these guys here launched a show called Carolla Classics. Oh. And Adam has been listening to Carolla Classics. So when like Monterey recap shows, he'll go back 6 years or whatever it is to listen like a Carolla, what, you know, it's a new Carolla Classics show, but he'll listen to like the Monterey recap from years ago. And we're talking about things that we did and car valuations. And we remember walking out to like Pebble Beach a decade ago going, there's $100 million worth of cars here. And this year we walk out and go, that car is worth worth $100 million. And so it's interesting to kind of to go back and think of all that stuff, which of course brings up our good friend Pete Chaporis, who we miss dearly. Yeah. This show started because it was just a few of us guys going, hey, we like to hang out. We like telling stories. Let's just yap at it into a microphone. And it became Pete's favorite thing. His favorite time of the week was to come in on Fridays and do the show with us. And I'll tell you, so my Pete story was, Brad, you've been working with Pete for a long time, and I've been an admirer of Pete, seeing him on TV and some shows from back in the day and knowing about SoCal Speed Shop, but not living here as a kid, never got a chance to meet Pete. And then when I started doing CarCast with Adam about 10 years ago, he was one of the first guests I wanted to reach out to. I said, we've got to have Pete Chaporis on, you know, and he's just a legend in the space. And we met and instantly fell in love. Gazed into each other's eyes, embraced, fell in love.
And, I was going to say that.
We cuddled. We had a special moment, and that lasted for a long time. What an encyclopedia of car knowledge and life experiences. And one of the kind of the shining moments for me is the few times we were able to travel together, Syracuse, for example.
Yeah.
Is, you know, we're flying out there, we're all hanging out together, but we go and we do a show, we do the Syracuse Nationals, we do a show, and then, you know, Pete's, you know, he's having a good time, and he's kind of on vacation, and at this time, he was going through some health issues, and he was just off of the health issues, so he's like, meet me in the bar of the hotel. He's like, I'm gonna have a cocktail. It's the first cocktail I was allowed to have in like a year.
I remember.
And he goes, but I don't want my wife to get mad, so I'm gonna order a salad with it. and he goes, that way I feel like there's balance in and one cocktail turned into one cocktail turned into like two salads and four cocktails, but
and a burger,
and maybe just a bite of a burger. But then we just got into. I think you guys had because you were there, but Misha was there. Yeah. We all started off together, and then everybody kind of Charlotte was there as well, and I think the group kind of went to sleep, and Pete was still on a roll. We must have been there. I don't know. Maybe if I'm guessing, if you guys went up to the room at like 11, Pete and I were there till 1 in the morning. Just he was just telling these stories, and some of those stories I get to keep, and I think I should, because I don't know that they're supposed to be said on the air ever. I feel honored, truly honored that he felt like he could share those and pass those on and trust me with some of those stories. And they are fantastic. They are fantastic stories. But just all of his experiences and everything with his good buddy, Billy Gibbons as well. And all the ways they've sort of helped each other, not just in just as friends, like you friends would do. You know, and there's always ups and downs in people's careers and lives, and those guys have always been super supportive of each other. And just going back, like that relationship, those guys going back, going, oh yeah, you know, we would drag race hot rods down Sunset when Sunset was a dirt road, was basically a dirt road. And I'm like, what? Like, how is that even possible? He's like, yeah, they were building stuff.
Where was Sunset,
clubs.
A dirt road?
Yeah. Yeah, and I was like, I don't remember that.
When Pete was a kid.
Yeah, when Pete was a kid, I'm sure he still had a gun in his car with him. No.
Hell yeah.
And it wasn't under the seat.
No. He had it strapped on his chest like a bandolier. It was a big, crazy Mexican mustache and a hat. It was like fighting some war or something that was going on. And you guys know we all love Pete, and you know his story from Pete and Jake's back in the day. And then, you know, built the hot rods, created some notoriety doing that, and then had a non-compete. He couldn't, when he sold it, couldn't build hot rods as a shop for a little while.
So he built SEMA.
So he went to SEMA and he built SEMA. He was the first like director of marketing or VP of marketing for SEMA. And then when that, you know, when he was done with that, by the way, how Alex Exidius is still, I mean, God bless him. He's going to be around forever, and I feel like he already has been.
He's going to be. He just keeps going.
I'm telling you, like, awesome. I know people say all the time, they're like, hey, you never want to bury a kid. Like, as a parent, I don't even know. I don't have kids, so it doesn't make a difference to me. But,
man.
But I feel like there's a little bit of that Alex Exidius, Pete Shaporis thing, right? Because, I don't know, Alex has to be 25, 28 years older than Pete?
Was he? Brad?
How old?
I'm thinking 70, 80, 90. Yeah, at least 22 years.
Wow. 22 years older?
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You know, so it's, and so Pete passing is, of course, his longtime relationship as a mentor to our good friend Jimmy Shine. And then being sort of on both sides of that, having the Alex Exidius on the fatherly side and the Jimmy Shine on the son side, if you will. And anyway, just all of my moments with Pete are always happy and hilarious and great storytelling. And he was, I don't know, 70 or 71 when he got his first like modern day hot rod. He's
I'm
getting
Mercedes.
The AMG, the CLS AMG. He's like,
so excited.
He's like, this thing's kind of cool. And he's like, I've never really had a car with air in it before.
And he got how many tickets in that car?
Oh, my
gosh. Hadn't gotten tickets in decades. And here he gets tickets every time we see him.
And he's drag racing the young kids. With this car, and he's like, this thing boogies. He rolls up to the shop. I get you're out in the middle of nowhere in the hills of Pomona or wherever he is, and the hills, the flats, I have no idea what's in it, out there. And he's rolling up to Brad's shop in Orange County, and he's like, check out my new hot rod. We're like, what's with the gun jammed between the seat and the center console? He's like, what do you mean? I've been rolling that way for 100 years.
Matt, that's like a great place to just encapsulate who he was, because we had him on the show that day, and he had his new AMG Mercedes, and we're talking, and he says, and he goes, yeah, we said something about, well, you know, don't do that, Pete. You never know who's on. He goes, I'm not worried. I'm a Marine, and I got a 45, you know, between my seat and my center console. And we're like, oh, yeah, sure you do, Pete. And we're all, like, waving at him and blinking and
like,
going,
no,
like, you know,
it's in the trunk. He's like, no, it's not in the trunk.
It's live on the air.
He's like, what's wrong with you guys? I'm telling you. We're like, no, it's in the trunk. And we're like trying to wave him off. And he's like, no, it's right there. I'll show it to you.
He goes, I go, well, you've got a club in the a club in the car or something. Not a gun. And he goes, oh, no, the club's in the trunk with a couple more clips.
Extended long clips, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
he just didn't care.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Pete. It's like, obviously, you know, we could take up a multitude of shows with Pete. He's dearly missed, and he's had a huge effect in our lives. And Brad, I'd like to thank you for introducing us, because he was the friend that was always there that I didn't know that I had. And when Pete and I met, it was the same thing, Matt. We just fell in love with each other and hugged and stayed up half the night talking in the coffee shop. And, you know, it was just like that instant friendship. And it was really, really, really special. I miss him very
fairly
much.
Recently, when Pete was working on your car, and I remember him coming in on the show, and like kind of like off air, you were on the phone. He's like,
he's so confused.
He's like, I was working on that car. He goes, Aaron, he's like, that kid's going to fucking kill himself. He's like, I got to do some work on this car.
That was the first car I ever built, and I did everything wrong.
He's like, I'm just afraid for his life. Pete was so sincere. He was like genuinely concerned. He's like, I got into this thing. He's like, I don't know what's going on underneath this car. We're like, it's a rat rod. It's Aaron's style. He's like, no, you don't understand. He's going to die.
Because I didn't build that car completely mechanically myself. I bought it as a roller. So it's like,
oh, Pete's aware.
I didn't know any better, and I never really got under that part of it. I was kind of restyling it at the time.
Was it Red Voodoo?
It's Red Voodoo, yeah. So, yeah, I haven't done
what
anything
do you mean
to it
under
since.
That part. It was the whole thing. Aaron.
Yeah, I know.
The whole thing
well,
I was concerned about.
Well, when he showed me places that I had never seen, being the father figure he was, it opened my eyes to a whole new set of problems.
And he knows it. He knows this stuff, Brad. I know you've been in this industry forever as well, and have built cars and won the awards and GM awards and Ford award, but still you have to be impressed when we walk around looking at like what's the version of like the Great Eight, but at Syracuse it was the cars. Maybe it was the Gene Winfield pick of cars.
Yeah, it could have been those
Gene
two.
Winfield pick, the
they
McGuire,
were amazing.
And yeah.
And Pete's walking around. He's like, come over, let's look at these cars. Let me talk to you about these cars. Ugh. And he's judging these cars and coming up with shit I've never even heard of.
He's seeing into the future on these cars. This is going to fail. Or see this? They really did a good job on this. This is going to last. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like he saw the future on that.
Yeah.
On
he was
things.
Just like, he's like, you see that door glass. He's like, you roll that door glass down. The top of the door glass that goes into the felt, he goes, it's not finished. It's not finished.
Yeah.
And I was like,
the thing about Pete that you guys got to experience when you met him was that when Pete was your friend, he was your comrade, man. He wasn't just your friend. He was there for you. He was going to turn with you. And I remember back, way back when Boyd and I split up, and it was like a ugly, divorce. It was, there were jabs going back and forth.
And you got Pete in the divorce?
What's that?
You got Pete in the divorce?
Yeah, I got Pete in the divorce. No, but Pete was a friend of Boyd's and a friend of mine. And there were some people that, never talk to you again because, but Pete and I went to lunch. Pete said, hey, man, I don't give a crap. I'm both your friends. And, I know what really went on, and I know that it's just like, this and that. But Pete stayed my friend, and he was always my friend, and it wasn't with conditions. And that's what kind of a guy was. He was a stand-up guy, and like you said, Matt, he was also the kind of guy that knew everything about hot rods. He ate them, he drank them, he loved them, and he loved everybody about them. Now, I will say, he wasn't as excited about the kind of cars we built at Boyd or like what Chip Bruce built or anything like that, because he was a traditionalist, man. He knew they had to be there to help the hobby, but as far as like he could pretty much, you can have those things. I want my traditional hot rods like you guys know. That was what was cool about me.
Yeah, definitely.
The other thing is that for any of our listeners who haven't gone back into our archives and listened, you got to go back and listen because you get Pete's voice, you hear his knowledge, all his ideas and his thoughts, and it's so much fun, to hear what he thought. And then like episode 41, we dedicated it to Pete and interviewed Pete about Pete, who's Pete Chaporis. And we did that with all of us over the years.
Yeah.
But that's a great episode about Pete.
I'm glad you knew it was episode 41. Listen to all the episodes with him because he makes all these great old man noises in the microphone.
Yeah, he was quiet a lot.
He made a lot of like, a lot of breathing.
All I remember is he would sit across and we've got these leather chairs in the studio.
Yeah.
And he would squeeze the arm of the leather chair and it would make this. I'd be like, Pete, I'm squeezing. Oh, okay. 5 minutes later, he'd start squeezing. It was just a nervous habit. And it was just part of Pete,
It's the quirks. It's all the little quirks and all the little idiosyncrasies that we love and remember of people and cars.
Yeah. For a guy that's been on TV so many times and done a million interviews, he's still got like a little nervous in front of the microphone every Friday.
Sure, yeah.
And just completely unaware. He's got the headphones on, and he's just...
He liked to hear the noises in his headphones. It was like, wow.
And he must be thinking, who's making that noise? And he doesn't realize it's coming out of his nose.
And you know what, guys? The thing that made Pete an innovator throughout the years was he wasn't afraid to take a chance. And I remember him and I were doing Rodden Custom Radio. Mm-hmm. It was on Saturday mornings, and it was on regular terrestrial radio. And it was doing great. We were in 50 markets. We had advertisers. And I came to him and I said, hey, Pete, we're going to do a podcast. And we're going to bring in Matt and Aaron, too. And he said, okay, let's do it. There was no hesitation. It was, let's go for it, man. If that's where we got to be to make it, get bigger and have more people hear us, he was right there with it. And that was what was so cool about him.
What he really said was, who's Matt and Aaron?
Well, he kind of did.
Matt Farah and Aaron Kaufman, what?
He was showing cue cards, pictures. Look, Pete, look. Like at the end of Weird Science, this is Gary, your son, Gary, remember?
So guys, do you remember episode number one?
Because it was sort of like we tried to launch big in at SEMA in the mother's booth.
Yeah,
the mother's booth. And Billy Gibbons dropped by and Guy Fieri.
Yeah, everybody dropped by.
Okay, now wait a minute. Let me correct you there because that is how I remembered it also. But episode one wasn't Guy Fieri and Billy F. Gibbons. Episode one was actually Larry Dixon.
Oh.
Jimmy Shine and Courtney Hansen.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Courtney. I remembered Courtney on there, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
what a
we were at SEMA, so it wasn't till the third day.
That's
when,
right.
When our big show was
that's right,
Billy
yeah.
Gibbons and Guy.
Right, because Guy got lost.
I remember it the same way as you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's one of those things, too, where I think in that video I didn't show because I didn't film the first day or something. I screwed that up. So when we were doing that whole preview, it was of the later days. Plus, I think that first day, I don't know about you guys, but I was probably a nervous wreck. And I think that first day was more of a blur.
Yeah.
I forgot it was three or four days. I just remembered like one big
conglomerated
day.
It felt like one
day.
Big, giant, like long episode.
Yeah.
And that's when I got that photo, that most epic photo of all of us and Billy. Brad's kind of in the background poking his head
inside.
Up. And then it's you and me.
Yeah.
And then Pete's there, and Billy Gibbons is kind of in the background, like, texting on his phone, and it was just, like, the hodgepodge of all of us in there. And I think it was even David Freiberger from Hot Rod and Roadkill and all that.
That
no, he wasn't in there, but every time I post it, he comes, he's like, this is the best photo ever. He's like, I love this photo.
I have the one of when we were in the podcast station with Courtney, too, and I was in the background. Poking my head in, and I have that picture framed in my office.
Because she's so much taller than all of us.
No, with Pete. And no, it's just a really nice picture, and being an artist, it was really nicely lit, and everybody was kind of shiny, and it was one of those things where it's just a great photo, too. But yeah, I have that in a couple pictures. I have like four pictures of Pete in my office. Yeah,
yeah, we should take the wacky selfie photo with all of us and turn it into a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There you go.
We will put the video from that very first week we were on the air and some of these photos and put them up on our Facebook and our Instagram so everybody can check them out too.
Absolutely.
But you guys remember the big question of the week?
No.
What, 5 years ago?
We would go around and tell everybody, hey, be sure to come over to Mother's because we're launching a new podcast. And everybody said, well, what's a podcast?
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
I mean, literally, nobody else was doing a podcast there. We were the only ones doing a podcast
at that show.
Adam and Matt doing CarCast.
I didn't realize that.
And then we did it at Barrett Jackson.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Hey, so what happened to all this ground we covered and broke back in the day? What happened?
We're just lost in the mix.
Hey, we debuted at number 477 this week.
What are they? Well, how's the saying go? It's better to be first than get paid. No, wait, is that a real thing?
I don't know if that's a
real thing.
No, but actually, you got to remember of all of the how many podcasts are out there now.
Oh.
And if you break it down to automotive podcasts, it's in the, you know, most podcasts don't get past episode 4.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
give up on them. They, you know, they might still show up somewhere. But if you look, and I know Matt always tells us that iTunes is not a gauge, but to the average guy who goes on looking for podcasts and they go there, we are still every single week in, week out in the top 10 to 15.
Oh, that's
of
awesome.
All the podcasts.
I didn't realize and, that. That's great.
And that's really important because we've been there. We've been as high as number 2 because nobody can, you know, knock off that show that's hasn't been recorded in 6 years.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other.
You know, you talk about consistency and in the studio yeah. all the time, year after year, week after week. And that reminds me, I'm out next week. I'm going to be in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Well, between CarCast and us, I think that's been pretty.
Yeah.
How many years has that been on the air?
10.
Oh, wow.
10 years of CarCast. And
how
CarCast
long have you done it,
with Goldberg. I was producing it from day one, and then I think it was about 8 years, 7 or 8 years into it, I was
okay.
co-hosting it. So it's been a minute. And, you know, we couldn't do any of this without the love and support of Kalen.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Geico.
You're in good company with the Geico, man.
So both Kalen and Geico, mostly. So let me tell you guys about Geico. You've heard us say this before. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning. You pick up some milk. You listen to Shift and Steer podcast. Now you can save hundreds of dollars to that list, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to do you could do today. Check out geico.com. Aaron's got antics. What is this?
I don't know. It's sitting on the counter.
This
okay.
is like a wet wipe.
Yeah. We're in Krull's studio, so you can imagine like the little
– there's always like knickknacks.
The little, yeah, little knickknacks and tidbits of things
and, like,
that are laying around
like
here.
Like butt wipes and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, this one's like, –
and
this
lens
is good.
Cleaner and
lens
notes.
Cleaner.
And so during these shows, Adam likes to take notes, and I think it's Drew who likes to doodle. I think it's Drew who doodles.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, I've got the doodle pen right here.
He's a doodler?
Yeah, he's a doodler.
Here's the doodle pen.
He should maybe talk to a psychologist about that. There might be some underlying.
Yeah. He should see somebody, that Dr. Drew.
So, guys, should we kind of highlight some of the shows just for the people, just to tell them what we've done over the years? Things like episode 20 when we all went to the Ferrari Challenge in Sonoma, and we've never been invited back again.
Oh, no, you guys haven't been invited, but I've been going every year.
So Ferrari hasn't invited you back.
Yeah.
You guys didn't make the right friends, okay?
I don't know what happened. I don't know whose Cheerios we peed in at that event, but...
No, you ate them. That was the problem. They weren't yours.
Yeah. Yeah. We just helped ourselves to a little bit of everything at that Ferrari challenge. The Ferraris, the food, the booze.
Yeah. That was so fun.
I think...
did we lose Brad?
I hope so. Jesus.
We lost Brad. I'm telling you, see, folks, it wasn't me. It wasn't me all these years. It wasn't
Brad.
Me.
I'm going to hang that up. Kalen will go give Brad a call. How did we lose Brad?
You know?
Because he was out traveling around. Yeah, Ferrari Challenge. I was going to say, you should... let's reminisce about a few of the episodes. Let's get Brad to run through all 200 real quick. 200 episodes, just real quick. Just real quick.
Well, I got to say, I've made such great friends in you guys, and I'm so thankful for that. And sometimes, you know, doing a podcast, it can be taxing. It's like one of those things where, oh, Friday at 11 o'clock, oh, shoot, I'm supposed to be on a plane. Okay, I'll wait. You know? It's like it's hard to do it every week, and I've ducked out of, I don't know, a dozen or so by now.
But, yeah.
Oh, there you are. Yeah. You're back.
Hello, is this Brad?
Hey, sorry, guys. I'm up here on the mountain. It's only 30 degrees today. I was out shoveling snow. I dropped my phone, and
I can't believe it. You did your cackle.
That doesn't even sound like me,
that
Brad.
That doesn't even sound like him, Brad.
I can't sound like him, okay? I can only.
It is impossible.
It's impossible.
So, Brad, you're about to run through every 200 episodes. Go ahead. Start now.
No, I don't think every 200, but maybe like...
episode 10.
Know, something like Jay Leno's Garage Visit, episode 24.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, see?
Did you go on the tour?
Our first SoCal Live podcast.
Oh, SoCal Open House.
His open house. And that was episode 28. It was the first time we ever went.
We did a Moon Eye show.
Yeah.
I don't know what episode that is, but I remember doing that.
Barry Weiss there and Pete, all kinds of people. How about episode 30 when we went and took that Ferrari, California down to Newport with Michael Anthony and went and had tacos?
Yeah, see, I wasn't there. I was stuck in Tahoe shoveling snow, probably,
well,
right?
We're trying to reminisce on all the episodes Aaron wasn't on. We drove Ferraris with Michael Anthony and did eight tacos, episode 30.
I'll sit here and squeak in my chair.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Great adventure. I mean,
if we skip way forward, guys, we've been to, when we had people call in from the PRI show, we've had George Barris on the show. We've had, remember when Ray Everham was on the show? And we've got all these live shows at various events and at SEMA. And when you go down the list of people, notables from the industry, people from the manufacturer.
Oh, we're losing Brad again.
I understand how frustrated you guys get with me. Jeez. I totally get it.
Brad.
I totally get it.
If you can't talk clearly,
but it's clearly Brad's phone, not mine.
It is Brad's phone for some reason.
It has to be really frustrating to lose me. Okay, I can understand that, guys.
Caitlin is laughing at you now because now he's feeling the pain over there.
He's so nervous. He's twitching with his hat. He's messing with.
You guys want a fun episode? Go back to, I think it was SEMA last year, maybe 2 years ago. I think it was last year. And we had Jesse James on, and he's got no filter, so he's talking about, by the way, two booths over, we have nice, charming, sweet Chip Foo standing over there, and Jesse's like, he's like, hey, Brad, he's like, you remember that time we all went, he's like, was a young Chip Foo, we all worked for Boyd's, and he's like,
under a car, and I punched him in the face.
No, and he's like, I think Chip banged that hooker, didn't pay her, she chased him down the street, like in Minnesota or something, and everybody's face is turning around going, Chip's right behind us. I think this is not good for his image.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't care.
And it's funny because Jesse's like bumping Brad's arm. You remember, Brad. Yeah. You were there.
He had some great stories.
I not only lived it as their employer where I was seeing, employee lawsuits. And just laughing. But, that was the funnest time of my life. I'm like,
laughing. He's like, man, good times.
Yeah, it was funny because he was a little reserved at first, and you're right. It's like once he started warming up and reminiscing, it's like you pulled the trigger and he just went off.
Just
it was awesome.
Home, and that's a great episode.
Yeah, we always have such great interviews at SEMA. We had Mike and Ant on last time too, and it's so much fun.
Yeah, cheese.
Those are such we had the Tucci's on
and Bobby Alloway crashed our show.
Yeah. We talked to Bobby every
fun.
Year. Yeah,
I'm waiting for him to paint a car something other than black.
He did. I think
it was
not
navy blue.
It was dark
not
gray.
It was dark gray. Yeah.
Oh no, that's right. That was the primer.
Also met, you guys have met a lot of people. When you look at like Rob Ida, remember when we went back to New York to introduce him? Now you guys are all friends with him.
Yeah. No, true. We've made some amazing friends through this show, and that's what I was saying earlier. And it's so great because this is such a great community, and it really is like a family. And it's just such an honor to know some of these most amazing people out there building amazing things and preserving our hobby and old metal,
I think one of the greatest things about it is that when we get to have people on for an interview, there might be somebody that we've known for years, but when you get to interview them, you actually learn more about them, and it kind of strengthens that friendship or that relationship, and that's one of the coolest things about it, and the fact that we have people come up to us and tell us how much fun they have listening to it, and that's what's so cool, because you know, that aside from you guys all mooching free parts of your bills. I'm
what?
Like, no, that's all good stuff.
What bills?
I was doing that with CarCast long before we started Shift and Steer.
I know.
I find my parts in the woods, man.
Yeah, it's literally the woods. He really
literally
gets the woods right. And brings them and puts them on his car.
Right, Nick?
Yeah.
Nick's sadly nodding yes.
certainly the most important aspect to all of this is everybody that tunes in and listens to the show. We appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And that's important, as they tell us over at the advertising world.
Yeah.
Listeners, you got to get some people listening to your show. Like, all right, we'll do what we can. But no, we appreciate you guys doing that. And all the fun comments on social media and iTunes and the wacky comments as well. There was we did that bit where we read like the good stuff and the bad stuff. I forgot what we called it, but that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was fun.
And then it became soul crushing, so we stopped that bit for a while.
Yeah, that's it. Social media is a little hard. Well,
and then we tried giving all my stuff away, but then I found out that the postage was costing me way too much.
Oh my God, we just
frugal
did this
Brad.
Too. We gave away on CarCast, the show with Goldberg, we gave away a bunch of tickets to Bristol, the NASCAR. And I was like, this is easy. I'm going to mail tickets to everybody. And then Goldberg goes, also, I've got a dozen hats. And I signed them. I was like, great. Now I got to mail hats.
Exactly.
And then by the time he sent them to me and then I sent them out to all the winners, it was like $100 in posting. In postage, just get it. Everybody's like, you got to get there quick, and I need a tracking number because they're all signed hats, and people want their tickets. And I was like, yeah. So
priority mail.
We should do more Win Brad shit. Posting, shipping, and handling not included.
Yeah, you pay postage.
I know because I still owe one guy a poster. There's a poster sitting here on my desk. And when was the last time we did Win Brad shit?
Oh,
I don't know. I'm so glad I got Brad to finally say Win Brad shit.
Slip of the tongue, slip of the tongue.
I've been pushing that so long just trying to get that in there for him to actually cave and say it.
It does work.
Now, you guys do realize that now that we're at 200 episodes, the average episode being about 45 minutes, some longer, some shorter, that the average week has 168, well, every week has 168 hours in it. So if you started right now, you could probably listen to every episode we've ever recorded in less than a week.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can binge it.
Yeah, you can binge it.
It's like Stranger Things.
Yeah. You can drive coast to coast and listen to it and.
Or you guys can come pick up some jalopy in L.A. and drive it to Lake Tahoe in 19 hours.
Yeah, basically. So that's what Nick and I are doing. We drove from Tahoe to Reno, flew from Reno to San Francisco, from San Francisco to Palm Springs, drove from Palm Springs to Palm Desert, picked up the Woody Wagon, drove it to Beverly Hills, picked up Dad's El Camino at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and then we drove here. And then from here, we're driving back to Marin, dropping them off, and then taking the Woody Wagon back to Tahoe. So that's a lot of work to do in 3 or 4 days. Yeah. With no AC.
Now, we can touch on some new stuff as well. First, let's tell us, somebody fucked up the Woody Wagon.
Oh, yeah, I didn't want to go there. Brad, wait till you hear this. So, you know, the Woody's been on a promotional tour for the last almost a year now, and I haven't seen it. And,
for the liquor.
I built that for the Sammy's Beach Bar rum, and it's been on tour because the rum's been doing very well, and it's out there in the world. So our marketing director had it, and I don't know where this happened, and I'm sure it was like a good intention. But somebody sanded down all the wood smooth.
Huh?
They sanded it smooth and they teak oiled it. They probably thought that all that sun bleached, dry, raised grain patina was unintentional and they wanted it to look fresh and look better on a satin finish yellow car. And so they sanded it down smooth, Brad. I mean, like blocked it out. And
but
took,
who would even do that to somebody else's car without asking?
Well,
that's what we're saying. We don't know why
somebody
wanted to do this work or why they felt like they should or had the right to.
Yeah.
Must have been decades of patina. Decades.
Well, yeah. The wood was repurposed from a 100-year-old turn-of-the-century cabinet. So I left what was on there, and the center wood had that natural patina that was left over from that wood. That's been sanded smooth, too. So the center panels and the edge panels are now uniform in color, and they're kind of an orangey You know, anyway, I noticed it last night when we stopped, and I literally almost busted into tears. I mean, I alone have hundreds, no joke, over the last 4 or 5 years, hundreds of hours in managing that patina. So when the sun bleached it out and some mildew, you know, I would take a toothbrush and brush it out just right and then seal it with wax. I've been building up that French polish and wax finish on there for years, getting it just right. And so I am absolutely devastated.
No sense, because if they were going to go to that much work, why wouldn't they
polish the paint?
Paint or a drivetrain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like I said, I think it was just someone who was handling it at the time and maybe detailed it out and thought, you know what, I'm going to tackle this wood. I mean, and believe me, I think that it looks it's all the way down to the body line. So it almost looks like they might have taken the wood off in order to do it. Someone went through a great pain, which I can appreciate, to refinish that. But I'm having such a hard time getting around the idea of someone not noticing that it was supposed to be that way, you know?
Yeah,
it just blows
sure.
my mind. Yeah, just
makes
just,
no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. But like I said, I don't think there was any ill intention. I think someone truly tried to be generous and do this work.
Right.
But, you know,
it's like loaning someone your dog and then they shave your dog and give it back to you. Wait, no. Is that a thing? Do people loan dogs?
No, I think it's
like this guy that I loaned my 45 to, and he filed all the serial numbers off of it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's kind of like that. The identity's gone. Yeah.
You know, I loaned this museum by Picasso and I came back a self-portrait. I don't understand. It's like It wasn't supposed to be photorealism. It's a Picasso. Yeah. Oh. Holy cow.
So,
anyway.
So, hey, talking about mistakes, guys, Matt just came back from Monterey.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
What about that 64 Porsche went across
for $70 million.
$30 million, $40 million, $50 million, $70 million.
This was fantastic.
No, I meant 13.
That was hilarious.
The very first Porsche ever, the Nazi car.
Yes.
Goes up for auction. Nobody knows.
The bathtub?
Nobody knows what it's going to be worth. There's no estimate. Obviously, there's some sort of reserve, but they didn't – I don't know. They couldn't even base the estimate off the reserve. And it goes up there, and the auctioneer, the British guy, is like, do I have 13, 13 million, 14 million, 15 million? And the whole time, it sounds like he's saying 30 million, 40 million.
Yeah.
$50 million, and on the screen it's going and it's going. But this wasn't a one time mistake. You watch the auctions and somebody will go, do I have, you know, 185,000? And then you'll see it on the screen. They'll look, no, we don't. It's 175, and it quickly goes back. He went on for minutes. He's like 30, 40, 50, 60,
that's what it
70.
Sounded like, yeah.
And then he goes, no, 17, not 70. Must be my accent. 70. And the crowd's like, boo, yeah. Boo. But because it went on for several minutes, the whole debacle was a disaster, because now phone bidders and people are in the room going, fuck it, it's $70 million, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm gone, I'm leaving. People are already leaving the room, hanging up the phone.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's 17. So all these bidders that were probably in at 17, 18, or 20, they already hung up the phone, right? So now I don't know what RM is going to do. They're going to have to like scramble and call everybody back and go, it ended up not selling.
Oh, well,
right. It stalled at 17, never got another bid. But what was strange is when you watch the video, Matt,
yeah,
he's saying 17 million, 17 million. I mean, he's a Dutch guy, and I've never seen this guy at an RM. They usually have the British and the French guy. And this guy, it's not even like he's trying to correct himself.
No.
His
accent.
It was fine. We just couldn't be understood.
It was terrible, and he wasn't paying attention because he was doing 30, 40, 50, and then he's like, no, 15. And he enunciated. He said, 15, 15. Yeah. And he did it like three times. Do I have 15? Do I have 16? And then he was like, 60, 70. And people are like, what is he doing? And
And
in this day and age of social media, there's just so many just like YouTube videos, Instagram videos of this guy, and you see him start to enunciate, say teen, and then he goes back to it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like, talk about like not reading the room. This guy was not reading the room at all.
Yeah, it was a very strange circumstance. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. This is the ultimate promotion. This is the Vegas fight promotion of a bad call, right? So
no, now this is the bite the ear.
Oh well, yeah,
this is the...
yeah, yeah. But because it's a no sale, if it goes back up, could you imagine the hype? It's going to have twice as much hype, which may yield 70 mil. Who knows?
Okay. Yes, but now it's got a bad taste.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's
a
debacle.
Yeah.
And people thought 60, 70 million, and then it got to 17 and no sale. So now.
Oh, I was surprised. I'm like, 17, that's it?
That's the thing is on paper, there's a $17 million no sale high bid. You've basically just sort of set the market for a car that maybe was $25 million. We don't know, you know.
And the problem is that it's permeated past the collector car market.
Yeah.
There was an article today in Wall Street Journal about the conspiracy theory. Were they trying to pump the car up and somebody caught them?
You know,
all kinds of, that's not good. And then they were saying how Sotheby's, who is the partner and now owns RM, they said this is their second black eye in a year. Ooh. You guys remember in London early this year that portrait that self shredded itself right after it got bid. Do you remember that?
It was a Banksy deal.
What? I miss it.
Yeah, somebody Banksy spent a lot of money on a Banksy, which he doesn't sell, and he staged the whole thing where he made a painting and he configured in the whole frame of the whole thing a way for the thing to shred itself.
And the bottom of the Aaron had a paper shredder in it.
Oh.
It's up there on display, and as soon as they hammer it down at like 3 million or 10 million, whatever it was, he did it remotely. And
he must have been there in the audience.
The
wow, what a great middle finger.
And when it sold, so here's the thing,
crap.
Is that's a little different.
This?
That's a little different, right? If you were buying a $5 million Porsche on the block and then somebody hit the remote button and it burst into flames, you'd be pissed. But with a Banksy, the guy bought it, it shredded itself, became super famous, and now that guy's going to hang a shredded painting on his wall that's going to be worth way more money.
Yeah.
Than, you know. But this is different.
Wow.
If the car like explodes on the auction block by a remote button, you're pissed.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally.
Right? Because
wow, what a trip.
Yeah. But yeah, you got to see it. Plus, now you start to think, we're like, how is that not a gimmick? Because you're like, you didn't realize the thickness of
the world of
the frame or the weight of the frame. It had electric motors and battery power.
That's what I thought, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah. And I he actually did like without his face, he ended up releasing like a YouTube video of how he made the frame. And he's like, yeah, I did this. This is because I tell people not to sell my shit.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
All right. We're going to wrap things up.
Wow.
But
what?
There's
so much more to talk about.
I know, but we got to do another show.
We
so,
touch concourse.
We're going to have a live version where we go on air on Facebook Live. It's for every episode. Okay, not.
All right.
Every episode from now on is going to be, we didn't even get to the topics.
Right? We're going to break down every episode right now. But give our, you know, football season's coming up. And if you guys love podcasts, judging by your listening to this podcast, I'm going to assume you do, that you should check out some of these great shows over at Podcast One. If you're into the fantasy football stuff, Jeff Radcliffe has Pro Football Focus Fantasy, Ross Tucker's Fantasy Feast. There's a fantasy record show as well. And then, of course, there's Underdog Sports Fantasy Hour. They've got a bunch of stuff up there. Just go to Podcast One or iTunes or wherever you guys listen to your podcasts. They've got all that good stuff up there. So check them out. Oh, man. Of course, thanks again. 200 episodes. You guys are so fantastic. And Aaron's taking selfies right now.
Nick taking a selfie.
Appreciate you guys listening to the show. You can check out shiftandsteer.com for all those good past episodes. And the ones what was the Pete Chaporis one? Episode 41?
Episode 41. Be sure to check that one out. And check
definitely.
Out one about Aaron, one about Matt, one about me. I mean, you'll dig it. You'll get to know more about us
If I remember, we didn't do mine for like a year.
Yeah.
Because you went, hey, by the way, we never did yours.
We were waiting for you to come in, and then you didn't come in, and then you were down, and then we finally got it. But
I think you're waiting for something interesting to happen, right?
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, listen to Pete's show, because we maybe became a little more interesting over the last few years, but Pete was interesting from the very beginning. So
Pete
check that out.
Pete sent us his bio just in case we didn't know all the details, and I was like, holy cow.
All right, guys.
The ironic thing is that was the one week I wasn't there.
Oh.
What?
Was it really?
I was in Arizona that week.
Well, now definitely listen.
I was like, damn it.
Little regrets, but, Brad.
Who was there?
Little regrets.
Where did we do it? We did it in your office without you?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, you guys did it right here without me.
Best day of my life.
Whoa. Nobody take any of that conversation out of context, okay?
Aaron and I did it without Brad for once.
Yeah. The 22nd of September, everybody, my other podcast, Man's Adventure, we're going to be recording and doing a live event on Balboa Island. It's a Balboa car show from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. And thanks to our friends at Snow.
All right. You sound terrible, Brad. Something's wrong with your phone.
Go see a doctor, Brad.
Listen to Man's
Go see a doctor.
And I think he's got a cold. I don't know what it is. But
it's one of those intermittent calls.
Guys, Man Seeks Adventure, it's a fun show. Dave Merrick, Heather Storm, Brad Fanshawe, they get drunk and talk into a microphone.
Truth. Hashtag truth.
Hey, I call it like I see it. They do that. Actually, if you listen to the Shift and Steer that Brad and I did a while ago from Barney's Beanery, and people even hit me up on social media, like, man, Brad was lit toward the end of that. toward the end of that episode.
Clearly, I wasn't there.
And Brad's not really a beer drinker. Well, now he's a full fledged alcoholic because of Man Seeks Adventure. And hey, we were like three beers into this thing. I just kept buying rounds of beer. We had such a great time. So I didn't listen to the episode. In my head, it went amazingly well. But maybe in the microphone,
I got to listen to that episode. That was a few ago, right?
Like we were done. We're like, God, we crushed this episode. And I was like, I don't know if we just babbled like a bunch of monkeys, but it was a fun episode for us. All right, guys, I gotta go do another pod. So everybody, get out of the studio.
All right, we gotta go drive.
Hey, this week, let's do one.
I don't know what you just said.
Wait, what?
We're gonna do episode 201 next week, Aaron.
201.
Matt,
yeah,
I'm gonna be on it.
Yeah. All right. All right, guys. Thank you. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Brad. You can find us all on social media. Just go by name.
Yep. Good.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.